Welcome back to the Power Hour. Next week, as it's Christmas, and we're going to talk a lot about Christmas, please don't forget about the Power Hour. You know, shortwave is not cheap, and among the other things. And we are expanding to a new station, to a couple of new markets the first of the year. So we are moving forward. Please don't forget about us, even if it's a small gift. You know, a little something in our stocking for what we do here. We'd appreciate it. And if you really want your stuff before Christmas, please get those orders in the next couple of days for sure. So we can get them out to you. Lou White, he's been on, Joyce has interviewed him two or three times. It's been quite a while. His book, it's fairly famous in this type of genre and this type of information, Fossilized Customs. It's in its 12th edition. It goes over so much of what we see but don't see, if that makes sense. Right there in plain sight, as Lou likes to say, is website fossilizedcustoms.com. You can check them out. Lou White. Lou, welcome to the Power Hour.
Hey, thank you, Daniel. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, next week is the annual holiday, which celebrates the fat man in a red suit and rosy cheeks that goes around on reindeer and makes all the world brighter. So are you going to, what are you going to tell me about him today?
Well, pastors stand by and watch this happening, and they seem to ignore it, but you know, they say, well, put Christ back into Christmas, but he was never there. It's been going on for 4,000 years, and it's really a celebration of the sun's birthday. Saturnalia is another word for it, but you know, it's been going on long before that existed as well. It's not about Rome at all, but it did get inherited by those nations. But it's actually about Nimrod in the Trinity of, you know, the Nimrod, his wife, and his son Tammuz, reborn as the, you know, the child of, well, that's where reincarnation comes from, too. But it's Santa Claus. That's who Nimrod really is.
Well, give us a, let, tell us a little bit more about that so we understand the origin of Christmas as a holiday, not Christmas's Christ's death or what have you. That holiday, what was it called? What do these rituals mean? What is the origin?
Well, the original Santa Claus or Christmas was actually the 25th or 21st of December, whatever a person might find it to be. And it was celebrated with sun worship. And Sunday morning was very important because Sunday is the first day of the week. And it was adopted to honor the sun under Constantine. You know, he's a factor too. But Christmas started out long, long ago. I mean, the mists of history shroud it, but it's all inherited or it's esoteric. It's hidden in the myths. And if you look up the word Nimrod and the word, well, it's one word that you could look up in an encyclopedia would be the word G-O-D. Which is actually a reference to the sun. It's the very word for the sun in the English, if you look it up. But they seem to ignore that.
Whoa, pause there. G-O-D, like God? What do you mean?
Well, if you look up G-O-D, the origin of the G-O-D word is English, and it comes from not the tribe of God or Gad. That has nothing to do with the word God. But it was actually the name that they referred to as the sun in the Teutonic nations. The Teutonic nations were the Germanic nations, the Norse deities worshiped the sun, and you see it in the Celtic crooks. The Celtic crooks has a little circle and a crooks, and that's the same thing that basically Constantine saw, you know, or he had a vision. But the word G-O-D, if you look it up, it's a common term for, you know, Teutonic tribes reference to the sun and mighty ones, the chief of the mighty ones would have been, you know, Nimrod, the original mythology started at Babel. But it dispersed into the nations and they're all babbling now. They're saying Nimrod's name, only it sounds babbled. All the sun deities are known around the world and December 25th is the birthday that they celebrated for the sun.
How did it become, obviously Constantine, how did this pagan worship get mixed into the Christian religion?
Well, the symbols, the wreaths, the boughs, the green and the red, it all comes from basically the pagans. They celebrated that way. And if you look up the word Saturnalia, you'll see that Dionysus was aware of what they were doing, and he wanted it stopped, so he reinvented it. And if you wanted a specific answer to that question, how did it get mixed up? Dionysius was a monk, otherwise known as a priest, I guess, of Christianity. And he was from Scythia. Scythia is north of the Black Sea. And he came to Rome, and he stayed at Rome for a period of time. And he saw this thing happening on December 25th, or thereabouts. And they had this long festival where servants were exchanging roles with their masters. And all this debauchery was happening, and people were getting drunk, and they were wearing wreaths around their head. And, you know, it was all about fertility, though. See, the wreath is not what people think it is. It comes from along the Silk Road. It came out of India as a symbol of, you know, a female. Let's not make this. Let's keep it family friendly.
But, yes, yes. Let's just interject right there. Okay.
You know,
go ahead.
It's about nativities, the nativity of the sun, you know. And then Dionysius changed the reason, and he estimated that Yahushua was born. Because there was a birthday being celebrated, he thought, well, I'll just adapt this to something else and then apply it to the Messiah's birth. So December 25th was then started to be altered in meaning, you know, the adaptation from, or syncretism from pagan customs, which is all about what my book's about.
But what year is that about Dionysus?
Well, since Yahushua was born around 4 to 5 BCE, or 4 to 5 years off, the actual date was probably around 530, but he was, based on that factor, but it was reported in encyclopedias as the year 525, and it didn't happen immediately. It took several years for the idea to catch on, and they thought, well, you know, this is a bad thing to be thinking it's the sun's birthday. And people were so ignorant that they just started raising their children and saying, well, this is what this means now, and it doesn't matter what it used to mean. It's been cleansed, you know. But
well, let me,
we're not
that
supposed
is,
to learn those things.
You bring up a great point, or probably going through a lot of people's minds. What does this matter? Okay, so we have wreaths, and so somebody thousands of years ago used it in fertility rituals and debauchery, and they're worshiping Babylonian gods and what have you. It was switched. Christianity does see it as life, the God of lights. We believe God is a God of light, a God of truth. The lights on the Christmas tree, we've adopted all these and co-opted it to bring more meaning to our Christian religion. So what's wrong with that sentiment?
Well, that is a good question, too, because we know when it happened and who did it. It was reinforced by, of course, the fact that everybody was a sun worshiper, you know, everywhere. But principally, the pagan techniques were adopted and reinvented. And that, of course, is a term we know as syncretism. But if you read very carefully 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's talking about that in the last days, people are going to be turning aside the myths. And Malachi 4 talks about the result of that. So we've got a cause and effect. So people are turning aside the myths and adopting them. And Yirmiyahu, or Jeremiah the prophet, in chapter 16, says that in the last days, the Gentiles are going to come from all the nations, and they're going to say, our fathers have inherited nothing, but things of futility and lies. Well, if that's not what's happening, then what else could it be? You know, what else could go wrong? And here's what can go really wrong. Isaiah, or Yashiyahu 24, if you read that, it says that the people broke the everlasting covenant, and all the world is going to be burned. And that's what Peter was addressing his people with on Pentecost or Shavuot, when he stood up in front of them, and this guy probably couldn't even read and write, But Peter was expounding the works of Yahuwah, and all the people were hearing his words and so forth in their own language. And they were from Scythia, and there were Arabs there, and people from other countries. I mean, Acts talks about this, that they were hearing these things in their own language. That miracle wasn't in their ability to speak other languages. That miracle was in the hearing of one language, and we know that was Hebrew, you know, that he was talking. But all these different nations had gathered there for the giving of the Torah. That's what the festival was. That's what Pentecost is.
You know? Let me ask you about, you know, Christmas is kind of hard to set because everybody loves Christmas or the celebration of family and getting together and giving gifts and the lights and the Christmas tree. Who doesn't like that? So that's kind of a hard, I don't want to say sell is the word, but it's hard to get people then to back off that and to not be a part of it. I understand these things, or at least to some level. I still have a Christmas, I have a Christmas tree. I love the Christmas tree. I love the lights.
Yirmiyahu 10 talks about the tree that people cut down out of the forest and they drag it into their home and they decorate it with silver and gold and all the, they're actually celebrating a fertility item, and the globes that they put on there have fertility significance, and the tinsel and all the things that they put on it, but it's all about fertility, and that's what's behind all of it. The EASTER festival has the same problems. People are putting eggs on their trees. Is that not fertility? Well, the tree, the eggs, the baskets, and, you know, it's all this this cycle that people are trained in. And the thing that is really insidious is this. The Nimrod thing and the paganism is woven into the minds of children from their very birth up into their old age. They're assembling at steeples, and a steeple and a witch hat and a Christmas tree are all the same thing. But they don't know it. Obelisks and cemeteries, they all have one, it's an occultic, esoteric symbol. And they don't know it, so it's...
Symbolizing it's what? Symbolizing what? Like a steeple on a church. I mean, I understand that a little bit. So what does that, the obelisk, what does that symbolize?
Well, it's a male component. It's a sexual organ. It's a genitalia.
Right.
As is the wreath. The wreath and the tree are the same. One is male, one is female. But the Nimrod thing has, the most insidious part of it is that the family bonds are actually woven together. Friends, family, they get together at these gatherings, and the gatherings are all about that feeling of that welcome, generosity and warmth of home and family. And when you're raised from your very first birthday with a cake with a candle on it that you're expected to make a wish and blow out, see, it's the idolatry starts there. And we don't know it's there because our family is saying, happy birthday, you're so loved. And all these bonds of love and warmth and sharing are all, you know, part of these rituals, you know.
What, I noticed in, you know, when I was growing up, Saturday morning cartoons was a big deal. What have you, Bugs Bunny, you know, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote. Great. I loved every single one of them. Lately, my daughter, and now I have young children.
Yeah.
I have to be careful what cartoons they watch because I am stunned at the amount of occultic and witchcraft and spells and everything that is in them. It is nothing like it was when I was a young child.
Yes. Well, the last days are upon us, and now he's waking us up. He's pouring his spirit out. He's not going to take his spirit out of the world. He's going to pour it into the world so that people will see these things and listen to what we're saying. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 through 5 says, "For we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the desire of the nations, having walked in indecencies, lusts, drunkenness, orgies, wild parties, and abominable idolatries. I think that's interesting that he said that. In which they are surprised that you do not run with them in the same flood of loose behavior, blaspheming. Who shall give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead?
Have you seen the movie, the first movie, Frozen, you know, the Disney movie?
I've seen it advertised, and there's a lot of witchcraft in it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The first one is one level of witchcraft. You see the second one, that's a whole nother level. Of course my children are excited to see it. They sing that song, what have you. And I was sitting there in the movie, and I was really shocked how it talks about the four elements and combining them and doing these spells and this. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like an initiation into Wicca or initiation into witchcraft. I mean, right on the screen. That's what ran through my mind. Are you seeing that more and more and more? Because it's shocking me how blatant it is.
You think? Yeah. Well, it's like the end times are the person that's doing wrong, let him do more wrong. And the person that's doing right, let him do more right. And so he's opening our eyes. The light and the darkness are becoming well-defined. That's what you're seeing.
We have William Snoblin. Do you know who William Snoblin is?
I'm afraid not.
Okay, well, he talks about, he's a former Satanist, occultist, or whatever. He, got out of that and got into the Bible and what have you, and is preaching. And he talks about Halloween. And so I always go back to Halloween because for Americans or Christians or whatever, you have a hard time explaining them why some of these things about Christmas are bad. And I can get that. That's a hard, again, I use the word sell. But when you go to Halloween, It like, wow, okay, all right, I get it now. it's like,
well, yeah. What you're really looking at is divination. It's contacting the dead is necromancy. That came from the East too. See, Nimrod land, or the land of Nimrod, is actually mentioned in the scriptures, and it is the thing that is polluting the entire world right now with zodiacs and constellations and all this. Delusional stuff. There's a strong delusion that's released out there, and people don't seem to see it because they're asleep. And when you're awake,
what is the delusion? Yeah, we've heard that. It talks about that. I think Isaiah talks about strong delusion. What is the delusion that we are under?
Yeah, the strongest delusion is the false name and the idea that we're being taught to not obey the commandments. It's like that is the worst thing to possibly teach children. And to let them inherit the pagan things and reinvent them, turn them into something other than what they originally meant, and then adapting it to Yahuwah. He said, don't learn their ways and don't worship me in their ways. He said two different things in the same sentence. And that's what's happened. The strong delusion is that it's okay. And the teaching authority that whatever a person may think is more knowledgeable than they are is the delusion. They're the ones that reinforce the delusion. And he sends it to them because they trust the men. Don't trust men. Look in the scriptures and see if he can't talk to you. But
I think that's great advice. I was touched when I first started awakening to some of this idea of occultism in our society, whatever you want to call it, I don't know. One of the first things that really woke me up about these holidays was the fact that the first 100-something years of America, Halloween was not celebrated at all. In fact, the pilgrims and the people came over here, they detested Halloween and wanted nothing to do with it. Explain that. We've got about two minutes before the break.
Yes, people were arrested and fined if they celebrated Halloween or Christmas. I mean, the pilgrims that came over here were trying to escape that, but it followed them over here in the other people that came over, and they started celebrating it, and they were having people arrested because they were doing these idolatrous activities. It was actually illegal.
That's fascinating. Why was Halloween? I know about the, trick or treat, the idea of trick or treat Halloween that comes from these druid priests or whatever. They would go to farms and basically say, you need to give us one of your children to sacrifice or we'll burn your farm. Is that true?
Yes, that is. And they would burn the child, and the fat of the child was made into a candle, and it was poured into a gourd, and it was lit with a wick. And the child's life became that symbol of the light that was shining out of the face that was carved in it. And people just ignore that name.
Wow.
They think it's child sacrifice.
Wow.
It was for M-O-L-O-K, it was Nimrod,
Well, let me, what is I say all the time, you use the word morality, or people use the word morality. Christians have a certain morality, or should. Well, yeah. Luciferians have a certain morality, too. They have a certain ethic and a certain code. It's just, they just don't agree with Christianity. They have a certain way they go about things. What is the teaching or the morality or the light of what you just said, of taking a children's life, extinguishing it, then putting it in a gourd, a pumpkin, whatever, a skull, and making a candle and lighting it? What is the religious, spiritual significance that they see in that?
Well, in the esoteric, the hidden level, is that it's something that outsiders don't perceive. But what it is, the idea that the pagan is thinking is that he's offering it to his deity so that he'll have a good harvest, or health, or marriage, or whatever his superstitious idea is. And by bending, that's what Wicca means, to bend the forces. And that comes from Hinduism, bending forces and making things work in to honor either the deities that they worship, the constellations, or the ones they're praying to, the dead ancestors. That's necromancy. You can't talk to dead people. And they think that the ancestors are going to help them. Praying to dead saints, it's the same way. They may or may not be saints. They've got to be a saint when they're alive, before they're one after they're dead,
There's the music. We got a short break and then more with Lou White on the other side. FossilizedCustoms.com is the website and the book, Fossilized Customs, the book. Real interesting conversation, Lou. Let's talk more and let's get deeper into this, the esoteric. I like the esoteric significance because then you can put them up against your beliefs. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Power Hour. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jay at the Pyro Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepyromall.com. That's thepyromall.com.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Mana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Right before Lou, Robert Tactalian from Vitamir was on, let me tell you about the products we have over at the Power Mall. Vitamir toothpaste, of course, the children's or the regular, the Zinc Plus toothpaste. I like the CoQ10. Probably is my favorite, but the children's toothpaste probably tastes better for children, I guess, but that doesn't matter. Anyway, I like them all, but there you go. The mouthwash is fantastic. We have the maca capsules. Robert was telling you, we kind of got cut off at the end of the interview there. Maca is an adaptogenic nutrient, adaptogenic plant, adaptogenic food. And whatever your body needs, maca seems to be able to give it to you. And it's a really good hormone balancer. So think about that. Hormones, male or female, a big part of who you are, your stamina, your energy, your just life is hormones. So try those maca capsules. If you feel so inclined, of course, the protein powder, we have that, some real Inca Warrior maca-type protein powder, the shampoo, the conditioner, the natural myrrh and clove soap, the hair care, the shampoo, the lavender conditioner, no sodium lauryl sulfates. We have all those products. Of course, we have the wellness bundle, oregano oil, super silver, and the silver lozenges. You got a savings on that. You got the krill oil. You got the Chaga Max. You got the lateral flora. We got the Livitrex from Global Healing. And when you go online, use the code DEC5. If you spend $50, get $5 off, or DEC10, you get $10 off at checkout. Check those out at thepowermall.com. Powermall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Thank you so much for your purchases, your donations, and your prayers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Think about us, especially next week, Christmas into New Year's. You know, think about a little stocking stuffer for us, a little donation or continue to purchase. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Lou White, who is the author of the really famous book for this type of genre, Fossilized Customs. Proselytecustoms.com is the website. Torazone.net is another one of his websites. And if you want to see his other books, he's got a variety of them. You can go to, where would you go, Lou? To Amazon or Kindle, you're saying? You can look under the author's name. You can see the list of the different books.
Yes, if you want to go to Amazon and get the book immediately, any of my books, you can get the thing downloaded in seconds, or you can get the printed ones anywhere in the world.
Okay, well, very good. Well, we hate Amazon here, but we know people still use it.
Yeah.
It's really, undercutting the whole economy of the United States and the world in some level.
Yeah.
But whatever. But I understand, especially books and being able to get them out quickly. Let's continue our conversation. We're talking about Halloween, the esoteric meaning. Also, William was talking about Molech, got these gods that basically Baal worship or some form or whatever word you want to use. We're seeing America perform abortions like crazy. We're seeing pedophilia like crazy. We're seeing basically sexual debauchery like you were mentioning earlier in some of these rituals and some of these festivals. And that he was saying how this is a spiritual hook that Lucifer or demons or whatever used to really drag the spiritual tenor of a nation down. And that's what's been going on in America. Your feelings about that?
Yes. It started out in the United States, or before the United States. The pilgrims came over here to escape that Anglican Catholicism, which was all about that. They had the fish hat that the bishops wore.
What is the fish hat? What is the fish hat?
It's actually a fish. I mean, it's a D-A-G-O-N. The word fish is dog, and then the idol was a fish. That you see it on, there's a popular coffee company that shows this woman, and then she's holding these two fish tails. Well, if you saw the complete picture, you'd be pretty, it's a nymph, and it's actually a fish. She's a fish, and it's a fertility item, and they don't mind having it. They know what it is, but the average person doesn't understand it. See, that exoteric is the outsider's view. The esoteric is the insider's view, and the occult meaning of things is not noticed on the surface until you're
So what's the esoteric meaning of that nymph, that fish tail, that fish hat? What is the esoteric meaning then?
Well, it's actually the worship of Nimrod, and it's sun worship, it's paganism, it's fertility. See, everything is fertility. The zodiac that people think exists is actually a gigantic wheel of fertility. And, the idea of a person finding love or to bend the forces or praying to dead people. It's all about fertility. That's what Halloween is. That's what the bunny rabbit thing is in the eggs. And
how is that different? I apologize. I keep interrupting you, but you're just making me think of all these things. How is that different than the Bible, multiply and replenish the earth? Compare the, obviously in all these religions, especially, pagan, the sexual proclivity, pedophilia, whatever, seems to be really, really prominent. How does this differ from a biblical view of sex?
Well, of course, the scripture records marriage as being not a ceremony, but the union of a man and a woman. And it starts out that way. There's a marriage in the garden. And then there's this overarching symbology of Yahuwah being our father, but also being our husband, those that have been joined to him, and especially Isaiah chapter 56 talks about that. That those who are foreigners that join to him in marriage, of course, through the covenant, is reflected as a marriage. And he says, was I not a husband to you? And he talks to the woman at the well. And Yahuwah, or John chapter 4, he's talking to Israel, the northern tribes that had gone astray. And she is this woman, and he's saying, bring your husband. And she says, well, I don't really have a husband. And he said, yes, well, you've had four. husband, and the man you're living with isn't your husband. It's just one thing after another, but Israel and him are married, but they're married through the covenant. Now, in Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah 3, it says he divorced Israel because of her idolatry, her harlotry. And he the whole world is absorbed in all this witchcraft, rebellion, you know. And the pastors are just standing by and going, oh, yeah, you can bring a tree in here. Go ahead and decorate it. They're just as blind as the people that they're showing the tree to, you know. They don't see it. But not that we're judging them. We're trying to show them this in love, you know, so that they can wake up. Yahushua didn't have it. You know, the Messiah did not have a Christmas tree or a bunny rabbit basket or any of that stuff, you know. And these, but what was left behind was the thing they were supposed to see. The imprinted seven festivals, the menorah exists to show us, is Passover, and then first fruits is his resurrection. And then you've got the festival of unleavened bread, which is a 7-day period. And then you've got Shavuot right in the middle. That's the giving of the Torah at Sinai, the covenant. Not the priesthood. That's the old covenant. The priesthood and the animal blood is the old covenant that no longer can cover any sins. It never redeemed anybody, and it still won't. They're building a new temple to start up animal sacrifices. Do you realize what that would look like?
Are you talking about in Israel? Say that again.
Yes.
You're talking about Israel.
They want to rebuild another temple on the Temple Mount so that they can start animal sacrifices again. Where's the red heifer? Who cares? That stuff's all done away. See, Hebrews 8 talks about this, as the priesthood, that is no longer in force. It's gone. It's for the purpose of animal blood. And it was a scroll, not the tablets, but the scroll hung beside the ark. If you read Deuteronomy 31, verse 26.
What does it say? Let me ask you a very pointed question. What does it say? Okay, I'm a mother, father. I'm listening to this. I have small, medium, older children, whatever. And I'm looking out into the world. I'm part of the American culture. I'm trying to be separate from it. I'm trying to come out from Babylon. I believe in God. I want to worship God. Not the pagan God, but you know what I mean? Our true spiritual father. What does it say when I see it, when I see all these occultic symbols, when I see all this esoteric meaning around, when I see the perversion and the pulling away of our culture into that? What does it say about where I am, where we are, and I mean, what should go through my mind?
They should do research on it and study to show themselves either approved or disapproved by Yahuwah, not by men, because it's going to turn off family first. The family is going to go, what's happened? What, have you gone mad? No, I've become upset with my Creator. And now He's indwelling us so that we can know Him better. He said, find out, learn to do the things that are pleasing to Him. And of course, if He never instituted it, why are we doing it? You know, Sunday morning is another illustration of that. Sunday morning, what is that? Is that you're going to eat a supper in the morning at sunrise? That doesn't make sense. See, if it doesn't make any sense, and even the Sabbath, I asked a Jehovah Witness committee that came to see me, when is the Sabbath? And they looked at each other and they didn't know.
What is the purpose of all these symbols and spells in our culture? I mean, even Walt Disney's got subliminal messages in their movies. I mean, that's been very well documented. Now we're seeing 5-year-olds in school being taught just damnable things. I mean, any parent who's okay with, again, it's a family show. I say it's 100 times to get people to get this. They're teaching 5-year-olds about anal lube and anal sex. What should we? I don't even know what I'm asking you, Lou. But I mean, all this is we're inundated, we're flooded with it. I mean, do people just want to give up? I mean, what is the solution? What is the answer? How What should we think about all this?
Well, the core problem is that they don't read their own scriptures. They listen to somebody that came out of a seminary, I'll be kind, to train them how the circus fathers taught them. And then they read the circus fathers more than they read the doctrines of Yahuwah. They look at men's doctrines, which is what everybody says the Pharisees did. I mean, the Pharisees obviously were mixing and doing their human customs and their traditions over what Scripture taught. You don't change what he wants. I mean, he just says, here's my covenant, you know, and they say, well, I don't really think that applies to me. I have a different racial makeup, or I'm a different person, or that was then, that was a long time ago. But he says it's an eternal covenant, and he's going to burn the earth. If you read Malachi 4, there's six verses. It'll tell you all about it. And that's where we have to start. Pastors are not teaching these things.
I've said this a million times on this show. The biggest institutional problem with this country, you people want to say, well, what's going on? How can we change? How can we solve this? With the biggest institutional problem on a, you know, government, whatever type level, is our public schools because of what they're teaching. Would you agree with that?
Well, it's certainly one of the major factors. I don't know if it's the biggest one.
Well, what do you think is the biggest one?
The source of our problems, it says in Scripture, the main source of our delusion is, and we're confused, because our teachers are not teaching us the truth. That's what Scripture says. Now,
that's what school is, full of teachers, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But they're not the teachers of Yahuwah's word.
Well, I get that. I'm talking about institutional, on government level. People say, what's wrong with the government? Yeah. The church down the road is not, you know, I guess a 501c3, I guess it's a government entity. Yeah. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm separating there a little bit. Anyway, go ahead. The biggest problem.
Well, it should be. What you're talking about, though, the pastors that are supposed to be teaching people the truth are not teaching them about what Scripture says to do, but it's teaching them a new idea that is actually a completely artificial.
Why not? Pagan. Why?
The whole cycle of their teaching patterns. It's
Why?
Based on Christmas, and because they're deluding the children first, and standing idly by while all these myths are taught. That they teach, or they ignore, you know. And that's the main problem. That's why people are confused. And the public school system is just a bigger, it's not the source of it, but it's the result of it. The fact that people are so deluded that they allowed it, you know.
Well, which came first? You know, I can remember even, you know, growing up in the, 70s, 80s, I can remember preachers were still out there talking about abortions and talking about, you know, your kids at public school, secular humanism. I can remember that the churches were pretty aggressive about that. My mother talks about, they said the Lord's Prayer in school when she was in school. Then they stopped. So to me, it's almost like the school was leading the problem. The church was following. The churches weren't the lead of the problem. The schools were.
Yeah, now the schools are the punishing part of it, because we've reaped the wind, and now we're reaping the whirlwind, and it's coming back upon us to visit us because we didn't stop it, because we had all the delusions set in motion, and the idea that a human life has been devalued to the extent that video games are okay for little children to play and use guns and shoot
and kill people. Yeah.
People. And they grow up with these things, so, and they're taught in school that we evolved from apes. And
that's the most damnable. That is the most damnable idea that's ever been for these children. It, not only just spiritually or religion or what, you know, whatever you want to call that, legally, lawfully, you know, well, there's nothing certain. There are no truths. There is nothing certain in this world. That's basically what they're saying by the evolution.
If you tell the truth, you're going to lose your job at a public school. You know, if you say
would you send your children for people? what advice would you give them? They feel they're either thinking about taking their children out, or they feel like they're stuck in public school or what have you. What advice would you give parents?
Well, I would give them the advice that they should teach them at home first, if possible. And if they can't, they should find a private school and then ask them what they learned today and then find out if it's true or not, according to the word of Yahuwah. And if it's not, then, you know, if they're decorating with bunny rabbits and eggs and trees and things like that, you know, these, you have to teach your children, and then they'll grow up and understand why these people do this. But they can't help themselves. I mean, they're just wrapped up in this feeling of love, and it's all the family bonds. Yahusha himself said that your enemies will be those of your own household. And it's not because you're not, it's because you stop doing the things that they think are important to them.
You know what you've told me, when I listen to you, I'm thinking of two words. I'm thinking of, I guess, education or awareness or whatever, awareness and conviction. Consciousness and conviction. Those are the two words, two C's. Consciousness and conviction. We're not conscious of the real issues that we're facing, and the conviction to then, even if you do, to do something about it. Our culture just doesn't exist.
Well, the truth doesn't exist in the culture, and that's why everybody's
looking
at the fantasy. You know, the fantasies are what they believe. They believe them so much that they're actually asleep. They're dreaming these things, but they're wide awake. And
gosh,
they can't open
that
their
is
eyes.
So, wow. That is so profound what you just said, Lou. I that's probably the most profound thing you just said this whole interview. Honestly, if people understand, it's like these spells, all the symbols, all the cartoons, all the subliminal messages. They put your mind in state in a suggestive semi-hypnotic dream state, and they're trying to program you and pull you into this Babylonian hell. That's basically what's going on.
Well, yeah, they say there's three levels of truth. At first, it sounds ridiculous, so they dismiss it. And then a little while later, they get so angry. There were some pastors that 20 years ago that had a convention about what they were going to do about this book, Fossilized Customs. They said it's wrecking their business. You know, people are walking in
business.
Saying, what are we doing? You know, why are we doing these things? This book is telling me the truth. I've checked. I've looked it up in encyclopedias. And then they start violently attacking the reputation or the person that brought the truth to them. And then finally, it's like obvious to everybody. They go, wait a minute, this is obviously pagan. Why are we doing this? Instead of doing what the word says and observing his festivals, the shadows of things to come. And there's things that are coming that are going to be wrecking this world. They're going to
like
burn
what?
The elements. Well, when the reapers come, the reapers are the harvesters, the eagles. When they come to burn the earth and rid it of all the things that are not, that Yahuwah hates, there's not going to be anything left of Nimrod land. There won't be anything, any evidence. It'll be ashes. And then we'll go forth in these new bodies, and there will be ashes under our feet, you know, and that's what he's talking about, that transformation in the twinkling of an eye at his coming. And that's the thing that we're all warning people about. That's what the first Nazarene were talking about. The first Nazarene, he said, I'm the vine, and you are the Nazarene. We're the branches of his teachings, and we're warning every person, every man, so that he can be restored to favor with their maker. And all you have to do is these simple things, and they won't obey them, and they won't stop doing the things that they were doing. And that's what repentance is. It's stop the sin and do the word. Be doers of the word. Even demons believe, but they won't obey.
We got about 3 minutes, give or take. So I just want to, let me ask you this kind of final thought from me, and then you take it wherever you want. The book is Fossilized Customs, the website, fossilizedcustoms.com. You can check them out wherever books are sold, the major, internet outlets. You can see his other books. What a great mind. What a great author. The Torah, really getting into some of the really special hit, it's been hidden to Christianity. But anyway, really love that you've come on, Lou. Let me, final question for me, and then you go anywhere you want. I have said, and I continue to say, the biggest story in the world the past few years and will be for the next few years, barring Second Coming or something at that level. I mean, nuclear war is not as big as this story. Will the United States uphold the Declaration of Independence, or will they not? And with that, what does that mean? The it's self-evident. We can't even argue it. These truths are self-evident, that we're endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, basically the liberty that is given, the dominion of the Bible that is recognized by law. There is no country in the world that has done it besides America. That is the greatness of this country. This is one of the greatest moments in the history of mankind, was July 4, 1776, and what happened. Where in the world are the churches and the pastors to make that connection with the Declaration of Independence and the Bible? And why are they not screaming at the top of their lungs about the violation to that and the Bill of Rights and the usurping of the authority and the dominion of mankind and the violation of our rights that we are seeing everywhere? Because this is an offense to God. This is not an offense to law. This is an offense to God Almighty. Where are they? Why are they silent? Why are we being pulled? And nobody is here yelling except me. I'm looking like a fool.
Well, I can answer that. It's because they're controlled with the 501c3 code, and they have to hire witches. They have to hire people who are doing things that we would not agree with, that the scriptures teach. The only thing that we have here is a war between the word of Yahuwah and the practices of humanity, the traditions of men. And it's becoming so violent that it's almost like this country is opening its borders to, you know, there's no protection, there's nobody there to stop them, really, and they're just flooding in here, just like they brought the mythologies in with them in the Puritans.
Turn that down, please, Todd. We got about 30, 40 seconds left.
Yeah, when the Puritans were here, you know,
yeah,
flooded in.
Yes, that's part of the curse of Deuteronomy 28, is foreigners will come and what have you. And we've got about 15 seconds. It's been a pleasure to have you on, Lou. I really look forward to having you on again. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. And same to you. Thank you for having me.
FossilizedCustoms.com is his website. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. We've got William Federer is going to talk about Christmas again, some history about different things tomorrow. And later in the week and going into next week, have a fantastic holiday season, Christmas, New Year's, whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate. But be happy, be healthy, be successful and free as God intends you to be. God bless you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.